Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to this week's episode of the True Fiction Project. In this special episode, I'm featuring season 4 guests who are authors of fantasy fiction. They blew me away with their imaginative and bizarre stories of other worlds and all of the crazy situations that their characters get up to. So, to kick us off, let's start with the zany Daniel Finkel. He is an author and a screenwriter, and he speaks with me about what it's like to work in LA. He describes himself as a Hollywood guy, but in a most non-Hollywood kind of way. What does that mean? Daniel shares a chapter titled The Dinner Party from his book Mr. Taffel's Pants of Insanity, where the main character is in attendance at a 26-mile-long underground dinner party. Talk about an insane story. Let's take a listen.
I definitely have had an LA adventure in a way that doesn't define the cliche Hollywood story, I think.
Is there one?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a Beverly Hills club. I don't hobnob very well with the rich and famous, but I kind of have found, somehow I found the other side of Hollywood, kind of the counterculture world. And I stepped in it in a really magical way. And I became part of this like world in the early 2000s where it was just, it was the Burning Man kind of world before Burning Man was such a corporate kind of thing. I've been a screenwriter, most of the time not working, but I decided to write Mr. Taffel's Pants of Insanity, which was called Stan Taffel's Leather Pants. It was just a little weirdo script I wrote. It was kind of more R-rated comedy. A version of this, but I met this really smart, connected director that was like up and coming, and this other producer that was also really kind of the same, and they wanted to make this movie. And so it was wild. We almost got it made. It had a bunch of people connected to it at some time. Even Quentin Tarantino himself, I think, read it. It was a incredible thing, but it never happened, like many things, you know.
The dinner party was an endless sea of sheer extravagant overindulgence. 26.2188 miles of it, to be exact. The specific length had been decided so that they could use the tagline, "It's literally a marathon of gluttony." Men in formal suits and women in ball gowns wandered about like busy ants, eating mounds of hors d'oeuvres and drinking from wine glasses the size of fish bowls. However, if one looked at the guests closely, one could see that they were actually ragged-looking, as though they hadn't showered in weeks, because they hadn't left in weeks. The stench of perfume, cologne, and horrible BO combined had the same effects as the MSG flavor enhancer in Chinese food. If one were allergic to the smell, it could cause nausea, vomiting, cramps, diarrhea, gas, heartburn, and headaches.
Remember, look straight ahead with a relaxed smile.
The rat said with a smile that made him look as if he were going to throw up at any moment. They had walked only 20 feet into the party when Mr. Taffel dared to peek out at some of this vulgar display of excess. He couldn't help but stare at the Statue of Liberty-sized head of opera legend Luciano Pavarotti in the distance, being overtaken by a team of filthy coal miners prying out chunks of lasagna from his beard with pickaxes. Then Mr. Taffel, for the briefest of moments, caught the eye of a Salvador Dali wannabe sporting a 10-foot version of his famous handlebar mustache. Ironically, the Salvador Dali wannabe claimed he was the real simulacrum of Salvador Dali, when in actuality, he was Robert Wexler from East Rockaway, New York.
"Thank you for admiring my amazing mustache," announced Salvador Dali proudly as he trailed behind them with a psychotic grin on his face.
Lorette quickly jumped between them as if he was ready for this to happen.
"So sorry, but we are late for the Spielman Tartar with Yasha and Sasha."
"That sounds delightfully grand. I think I'll tag along,"
celebrated Salvador Dali. He managed to dodge around Lorette and get back to Mr. Taffel.
"Your pants are like a forgotten poem found at the bottom of a well."
"Thank you," replied Mr. Taffel. Lorette's expression advertised loud and clear that Mr. Taffel's life was now in danger.
"The science session would never allow your mustache,"
Lorette shrieked desperately.
"You'd have to shave it off in order to attend."
"Never!"
shouted back an offended Salvador Dali as he tried to spit a loogie down to Lorette's feet. Though it mostly got caught on the right tip of his mustache, he stormed off. Lorette closed his eyes and took the kind of deep, calming breath a person takes when they know they have just avoided death.
"Steer ahead at all times and don't taffle again," scolded Lorette,
not realizing he had just used taffle as a verb. They had embarked on quite the trek. While the sped-up ballroom dancing music played from secret speakers planted throughout the dinner party did help keep them moving, soon they were both exhausted and drenched in sweat. Mr. Taffel grabbed Monique's glitter unitard and patted down his face, which made him look like he may be acting inappropriately with the mannequin.
"What in the world are you doing to that mannequin?"
shouted a gigantic woman off to his right. Mr. Taffel accidentally glanced in her direction. There were 20 other enormous guests at her table, each looking as if they had swallowed 20 other guests from the empty table next to them, which they had actually done 3 days earlier. The guests, including the men, each had caked on more layers of makeup than a professional circus clown. They had all applied fake birthmarks to their cheeks, which looked like puddles of chocolate or poop needing to be wiped off. They all wore colonial wigs spray-painted with pastel colors to match their colonial gowns. But only one of these guests, in addition to being draped in hip-hop bling, wore her tricorn hat sideways. This was the one and only Duchess of Very, 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 Very Funky Town, and this was her table. The Duchess pulled out a switchblade that shot out a golden spork with sharp, curved tines. The spork hooked onto Mr. Taffel's shirt and yanked him over until he was face to face with her massive face. It had been so quick that Lorette hadn't even seen it happen.
"Do you have a license for that mannequin?"
she inquired. Why would I need a license for a mannequin?"
"Well, you don't. But since I'm the Duchess of Very, 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 Very Funky Town, I think you should definitely have to have one,"
she declared as she jerked Monique out of his arms and into her lap.
What is the name of this man who dares to bring an unlicensed mannequin to the dinner party?
Mister is all he said before he was cut off.
Mister, it's you! It's really you, she said excitedly.
I'm sorry, no, it's not me.
Of course it's you, Mister, she continued. We met for snail snappers and fizzy fizzies with the Winthorpes last August.
She pulled him into the empty chair to her right.
You had a falcon and gave me a lesson in falconry, and then we ate the falcon, and then you made a clever comment about how you then felt light as a feather.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, my daughters, but this man is on medication. He can't eat or drink for 24 hours.
Lorette shouted as he zigzagged around a colony of people in bunny costumes bouncing by on pogo sticks. The entire table erupted with laughter, as if that was the funniest joke ever told.
You are just hilarious. This French jester can join us, too,
celebrated the Duchess as she switchblade sporked Lorette by his earlobe and yanked him brutally into an empty chair on the opposite side of her.
Now, let's make a toast to Mister, but in accordance with the new unlicensed mannequin policy, Mister must decide what we drink.
She handed Mr. Tapple a thick book titled The Wine List.
So, should we have red or should we have white?
She questioned with a playful shuffle of her eyebrows. This action caused a clump of dried makeup to fall onto the table like powdery snow.
We made an oath. We would attend the march of the magicians. We must not be tardy, pleaded Lorette.
Once again, the entire table exploded with laughter while the Duchess dragged Lorette down by his ear until his face was smushed into the seat of the chair.
You are officially the funniest Frenchman in all of Very, 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 Very Funky Town,
the Duchess announced as she turned to Mr. Tapple with a sinister smile.
Red or white, mister?
A long beat of tension and then... red? Cheered the table. Mr. Tapple couldn't help but feel the same adrenaline rush he got whenever he correctly answered a Jeopardy answer slash question he hadn't previously heard. One of the guests pulled out a large spotlight from under the table and flashed a silhouette of a wine glass onto the ceiling. A wine steward, dressed in a parachute tuxedo with a colorful wine bottle designed cummerbund, bungeed down 300 feet from a hidden door in the ceiling. After five residual bounces, he grabbed onto the edge of the table while still hanging upside down.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To round out this episode, we'll now hear my interview with Richard Sparks, an accomplished writer and author who's worked with greats like John Cleese and Rowan Atkinson. However, Richard struggled as a fiction writer, writing for others because he felt that he couldn't connect with the content. Eventually, he embraced fiction writing when he realized that he could use his own voice and interests. He shares an excerpt of his fantasy novel, New Rock, New Role, that follows a man who gets sucked into a video game and is trying to understand how he got there. Keep listening to hear how the story unfolds.
I still have the manuscript, which I kept, but I gave the typescript to Rowan that morning in rehearsal. I just handed it to him beforehand, and he sort of looked at it and started reading, and just sort of grunted, and walked off reading it. And I thought, oh, that's great. You know, he didn't say, this is terrible, because it was the first thing I'd ever written for him to do. And Peter always said to me afterwards, why didn't you write that for me? But, you know, if it hadn't had a genius like Rowan performing it, nobody would ever have heard of it. Peter was a good comic actor, but not in Rowan's league. And in fact, he said, doing that show, it was very lonely being on stage after all before Rowan, because Rowan's brilliance just took all the air out of the room, and anyone else beside him, is apt to not shine by comparison. So a year later, I got a call from Rowan. He said, John Cleese just rang. He's asked me to be in his new charity comedy show. And can I do the schoolmaster? I said, you bet. And so Rowan and I met in the captain's cabin, a pub in St. James's, walked down to the theatre, into the artist's entrance, which is very glamorous. And there were all my heroes, like Billy Connolly and Pete Townsend of The Who and Peter Cook and various pythons. And Rowan introduces me to John Cleese, which was lovely. And then Rowan did the show, and he literally, if I could use that word, I think he literally would be okay, walked out on stage an unknown and walked off a star. This is a perfect example of that. I wrote the words, Rowan wrote the character and the performance. Together we made a sketch.
Fantastic. Your book is called New Rock, New Role, which is, I'm guessing, a metaphor unto itself.
Well, it's a pun, R-O-L-E. It arose from my love of role-playing games on the internet. So the role, R-O-L-E, and the idea just fell out of the sky one day and hit me on the head. I started writing. I've written four in the series now, and I'm on the fifth. I'm just going to keep going till I drop. Not always been easy, but a lot of dead ends and back turns, but just a fantastic delight to find my own voice and my own world, which nobody else could have written this. That's just the nice thing for me about it. We wore them down and took them out. Barbarian first, then sorcerer. Their sword and board man was the last to drop, weakened by my energy drain, his legs chopped from under him by Grell, priester's swords punching through his shredded armor. We whooped, we hollered, we celebrated, we cavorted, we reveled in the applause and the cheers of the crowd. I was stunned. Did we just win? I was so caught up in the euphoria of the moment that I couldn't put my finger on the moment when everything started to go weird. But go weird it did. Very weird indeed. We were dragged out of the arena by some invisible, irresistible force, in different directions, unable to control what was happening. We gasped. We squawked. We shot off down wild rabbit holes at speed, sucked out of our post-fight celebrations. The cheers of the audience still echoing in our ears amid the roaring and the bucking. Krista! I yelled as we plunged down pipes of flashing light and through blank tubes of darkness, shouting for each other, turning over and over and around, helpless to resist. And then I lost them as they vanished into a disintegrating digital vortex, whipped off and away. I called for Grell, for both of them, until my voice grew hoarse, but I got no reply. They'd gone. Where? And where was I going? My vision filled with distortions and flashes of blinding color. It was unbearable. I tore at my headset, wondering what the hell kind of system malfunction this was. It wouldn't come off. I was on my feet, staggering around in my room, yanking desperately at my headset, which was firing all kinds of flashes and interference at me between moments of terrifying emptiness. Then it was as if the world tipped sideways. I was screaming. I know that because I felt it in my throat, but I couldn't hear a thing. Everything stopped. Everything went black. Then I was hurtling again through blasts of light and color, punctuated by patches of darkness. Nothing made sense. I couldn't breathe properly. I couldn't hear or see or feel. I just needed to get this to stop. I kept punching myself in the face as I tried to dislodge my headset. I was scratching at my forehead as I hauled on the damn thing, which refused to release its grip on me. What the hell was going on? I couldn't stand the mad visuals that were piling in on me wherever I turned, so I scrunched my eyes shut. I took a deep breath and struggled, continuing to wrestle with my headset. When I finally wrenched it off, my whole body felt as if it was being ripped out of the collapsing virtual world I'd just been buffeted around in. My chest was heaving for breath. I was bent double from the exertion. I opened my eyes. I was standing on grass. My feet were in scuffed brown boots. What? I'd been wearing slippers. I'd never seen these boots before in my life. Dark grey leggings were tucked into them. I'd been wearing sweatpants. I was standing in a meadow, not the floor of my living room. A warm breeze teased at my clothes. How is that possible? It was meant to be the middle of winter. Not here, it wasn't. And my house was nowhere to be seen. I straightened up, startled, and looked around. Where were the others? I was in the middle of nowhere, and nowhere that I didn't recognize. All that I could see was hills, woods, and grassland. In the distance, snow-capped mountains gleamed on the horizon. There was no sign of civilization. There was no farmland or pasture, no fences or felled trees. I was in untouched, endless wilderness. I knew this wasn't a scene inside my headset because I was holding it in my hand. Only, what was I seeing? It wasn't my headset. It was a crude, bronze helmet. I peered closer at it. The face reflected back at me. From its curved surface was indistinct, but all too recognizable. It wasn't mine. It was Dax's. His long, blonde hair fell forward over my shoulders as I stared back at him. At me. I froze in shock. I was physically in my avatar's body. When I managed to speak, my voice was a croak. Guys? Krista? Grell? Can you hear me? They didn't respond. I was all alone on an unknown hillside, talking to a helmet.
I hope you enjoyed this look back at the fantasy authors of Season 4. This is the True Fiction Project, and I am your host, Renita Hora. Here at the True Fiction Project, we are always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So, if you have a great story or know somebody who does, or if you are a writer who would like to contribute, then please do get in touch with us at renita.com/contact.
Thank you for listening to the True Fiction Project with Renita Hora. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter to receive more inspiring stories showing how fiction is born from our everyday experiences. For more information, visit www.truefictionproject.com.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.